Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 10th. From Capitol coverage, Governor Jared Polis took his campaign for a new public health insurance option to a national audience. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
Polis touted his healthcare agenda at an event in Washington, D.C. on Friday alongside Washington State Governor Jay Inslee. Inslee was the first governor in the country to create a public insurance option, which is launching next year. The premiums are projected to be 10% cheaper than private insurance, but Polis says opposition from hospitals will be the biggest hurdle to passing such a plan in Colorado.
The biggest challenge there is, again, the kind of the role of the special interest opposed to it, meaning the money. Meaning they're literally running hundreds of thousands of dollars of advertisements against the public option on Colorado TV right now.
If approved by lawmakers, Polis said a public option would initially be available to about 7% of Coloradans with insurance, and that he wants to eventually expand it to businesses. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
From the Denver Post, a 53-year-old skier from Pennsylvania died after an accident at Steamboat Resort on Saturday. The skier was found unresponsive near an area at the bottom of Shadows Glades around 2:30 p.m. Ski patrol arrived on the scene and administered advanced life support, but the skier was later pronounced dead after he was taken to UC Health Yampa Valley Medical Center. The Route County coroner said he will do an autopsy today to determine how the skier died, but said that the man suffered trauma in some sort of accident on the mountain. So far, it is unclear if the skier was killed in the accident or went into a tree well. The Pennsylvania man's death was the first of the season at Steamboat Resort. And in other skiing news from the Denver Post, following the biggest storm of the season so far in Summit County, Breckenridge Ski Resort reported that it had received more than 4 feet of snow. The deep accumulation means there's lots of powder on the mountain, but also potentially unsafe conditions on certain terrain. On Friday, the resort reported 19 inches of snow in 24 hours and announced that high alpine terrain was closed with no estimated time of opening. On Sunday, the resort reported that the high alpine terrain remains closed with no estimated time of opening. Breckenridge officials reported that Chair 6 and T-Bar are open, but the rest of high alpine terrain, including all of Peak 6, Peak 8, Imperial, Zendo Chair, and Kensho Super Chair, are all closed. Copper Mountain Resort also closed Tucker Mountain, Spalding Bowl, Western Union Ridge, and the Upper Enchanted Forest for safety work. And this is from the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. Coal production in Colorado decreased slightly in 2019 from the prior year, according to data from the State Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety. The agency reports that the state's six active mines produced about 13.63 million tons between them last year. That compares to about 14.28 million tons in 2018. Arch Coal's West Elk Mine in Gunnison County in the North Fork Valley continues to lead in production at about 4.16 million tons. That was a small drop in coal production, as it had mined about 4.64 million tons in 2018. Peabody's Foydell Creek, or 20-mile mine in Route County, saw its production drop to 2.54 million tons from about 3.05 million tons in 2018. The state report shows that nearly 1,100 coal miners currently work in the state, including 335 at West Elk and 174 at Foydell Creek. About 1,160 coal miners worked statewide at the end of 2018. The Trapper Mine near Craig and the Kalawayo Mine, both in Moffitt County, saw decreases in coal production last year. The two mines supply the Craig Station power plant. Kalawayo employs 188 miners and Trapper 150. Colorado's coal mine industry has been struggling, with two major mines having closed in the North Fork Valley in the last decade. Both the Kalawayo and Trapper mines face closure by 2030, and perhaps as early as 2026 in the case of Trapper, after Craig Station's operator, Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association, announced plans to shut down all the plant's generating units over the coming decade. The industry faces challenges, including concerns about the climate change impacts of coal burning, low-priced natural gas that is being increasingly used for electricity generation, pressure on utilities to use more renewable energy, and decreasing costs for renewable power. In November, a federal judge halted Arch Coal's expansion of its underground mine over the federal government's failure to consider requiring flaring of the methane that would be produced, which would reduce greenhouse gas impacts. And finally today, this is from the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange. Proposed oil and gas leasing in the Sand Flats Recreation Area in Utah is causing town governments to join together in opposition. From KZMU, Molly Marcello has more.
Elected officials in Moab City and Grand County are now united in opposition to proposed oil and gas leasing in the Sand Flats Recreation Area. Both councils passed resolutions asking the Utah Bureau of Land Management to remove two nominated parcels from a June oil and gas lease sale.
It's a water issue and it's a recreation issue.
Moab City Mayor Emily Niehaus, Sand Flats Recreation Area is home to the internationally known Slick Rock Bike Trail. The county estimates Sand Flats contributes nearly $7 million in net value to the local economy. The nominated parcels also sit on top of Moab's sole source aquifer. There are concerns Moab's tourism economy would be irreparably damaged if water resources were impaired.
And I think it's worth it to mention that this particular area is our Sand Flats bike trail. And there are a lot of places where oil and gas development really fit with the landscape, and this is just probably not one of them.
The parcels in question do carry stipulations that bar surface disturbances like road building and drill pads, but hydrocarbons could be reached through horizontal drilling on adjacent lands. This nomination has drawn wide local opposition, even from those known to mostly support oil and gas leasing, like County Council member Curtis Wells.
You know, generally I'm a supporter of multiple use. But I think particularly with Sand Flats, with the motorized and non-motorized, you know, in addition to the camping and hiking, this just isn't really a logical site for high potential oil and gas development.
Grand County's resolution calls the inclusion of these parcels in an oil and gas lease sale, quote, irresponsible development. Reporting from southeastern Utah, I'm Molly Marcello.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 10th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.